The Haynes Forestry Office will close temporarily this winter, and Ahuna Weaver tells untold stories through a healing robe. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. The Haynes State Forestry Office is set to temporarily close this winter sometime between November and February. Earlier this year, the state legislature zeroed out funding for the Haynes office and one forester lost his job. The division scraped money together to keep one local forester in Haynes, but not on a year-round basis. KHNS's Emily Files talked to a local logger about the uncertainty and has this report.
Set the saw down!
Scott Rossman is sawing and hauling Sitka spruce logs on a rainy morning. Rossman is owner and operator of the Stump Company, and he's worked in the Haynes timber industry for 27 years. He makes firewood, supplies saw logs to local mills, and logs home building timber.
Mostly just stuff to do with trees, all from the state forest almost exclusively.
There are half a dozen local timber operators, which forester Greg Palmieri says make up most of the market here.
That's been the case over the last dozen years or so. Primarily, we've sold all our timber. Well, I should say entirely, we sold all our timber to local operators.
In the current budget situation, the revenue from local operators might not be enough to keep the Haynes Forestry Office alive.
You know, that's the point we're at in the division is the offices that generate the revenue are the offices that are going to get the staffing.
That's State Forestry Director Chris Mache.
And right now, how does the Haynes office compare?
It doesn't really register very well on that funding piece. Compared to some of the other offices in Southeast, especially the Ketchikan office, it's not even in the ballpark.
That's horse.
Again, Scott Rossman.
When I buy this thing up at 39 Mile, I'll have spent about $20,000 this year so far, paying the state for trees. Now, in Ketchikan, they're putting them on a ship and they're going to China and they're selling big sales and they say $400,000 they generate down there. Well, my 20 somehow, you know, generated who knows how many millions of dollars worth of houses and you know, and I keep saying we, but it's everybody. It's all us little guys. And that's what I'm saying. There's value to that versus sticking it on a boat down there.
When I talked to Palmieri in September, he said the financial situation for the Haynes office is tenuous.
I have some good days and some bad days, I guess. The uncertainty, I have to let that go at a personal level.
He doesn't know if he'll be working next month or in 6 months or in a year. But Mache says one thing they do know is that it's not possible to fund the state forester position in Haynes this winter, although he doesn't have set dates for when the closure will happen. Rossman is trying to prepare for this. He has a timber purchase at 39 Mile he plans to take care of before Palmieri leaves. That should get his business through the winter.
My fear is when February rolls around, we're right in the middle of budget battles in Juneau, right again. And I can see somebody going, well, there's not anybody in Haynes right now. What do we need to put anybody back there for? Don't rehire them.
The pressure is definitely for continued cuts, you know, throughout the department. It just remains to be seen specifically how any of those cuts might affect, you know, our division and the Haynes office.
Mache says he's going to try to keep the position funded at about 8 months of the year. He says one thing that would support keeping staff in the Haynes office is the proposed Baby Brown timber sale. That 855-acre sale would be the largest in the Haynes State Forest in decades. But Rossman wishes the people making budget decisions saw the value of smaller sales from local operators.
Up the food chain, we mean nothing. Nothing. There's no value whatsoever to what we do to them.
During the 3 or 4 months without any staff at the Haynes office, Mache says forestry matters will be managed from Juneau or Ketchikan.
And, you know, ideally it would be with a forester there in Haynes doing that and providing those services. That would be our first choice, but I've not been appropriated the resources to allow that to occur. So I've got to do the best we can with the resources we've been allocated.
Rossman says the uncertainty around the local forestry office is something that worries him on a near daily basis. He doesn't know how his business will be affected if the state cuts Palmieri's job in the next budget cycle. For now, Rossman will keep making firewood to heat homes for the winter and hope Palmieri is back in the chair at the forestry office come spring. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Chilkat weaver Darlene C. spoke in Haines this week as part of the cultural exchange hosted by the Hainesboro Public Library. The exchange brought Native artists, singers, and storytellers to Haines to share knowledge and traditions. For C., this trip to Haines is significant in many ways. On Tuesday evening, she unveiled the healing robe she's weaving. It's a work in progress and tells the story of the migration of her clan, the Land Otters. C told that story, a sad, harrowing account of a clan that was forced to renounce its history, at a talk this week, but asked not to have it recorded for this story. I sat down with C at the home of local carver Wayne Price and his wife Sherry to hear more about the path to reclaiming her heritage.
My name is Darlene C. I'm a half Aleut, half Tlingit. My Tlingit name is Kodeyatun. I'm Kachadi, Kaskwaydi, Land Otter.
The healing robe will tell the story of the Land Otter clan, the group that had to deny their name, their language, and many other facets of their cultural history.
These are stories of our clan that have not been told in a long, long time. My grandmother would talk to her children and tell her that it's not going to happen in her lifetime, but it will in theirs, that in their lifetime, they will be able to be Land Otter again.
This week's cultural exchange featured talks, demonstrations, and traditional food potlucks with guests from across Southeast and the Yukon. C says her aunt was the keeper of the songs and took on the role of clan mother. She rallied her community, and together they came out as the Land Otter clan at a potlatch in Huna about 12 years ago. The robe will in part illustrate the rising up of the clan. It is set to be unveiled next fall at a potlatch for C's mother, aunt, and cousin.
So it's a very important time to bring out this robe, and it'll become a ooh. It'll belong to our clan.
C says the responsibility of this undertaking is overwhelming at times.
This has been a work in progress for years, and it's been on hold because in my family there have been many deaths. And it's very important when you're weaving Chilkat to be in the right frame of mind, you know, all positive thoughts, and, you know, because any negative energies can go through your hands into your weaving.
C says that the robe is another step in the process of moving forward. For C, Haines has always been a special place. She honed her craft years ago at a weaving retreat held at the Price household. Wayne is also a family member, and he was commissioned recently to carve two dugout canoes for the August dedication of the Huna Tlingit Tribal House. The Tribal House represents the four founding clans and will be raised in Bartlett Cove, located in Glacier Bay National Park. Local tribal members will paddle to the event in two of Price's dugout canoes. The timeline is tight, Price says, but the 40-foot and 33-foot boats will be done.
Oh yeah, that's a tall commitment, I think, but not an impossible one. And the whole foundation of all the success of this mission is with my crew, and that I have a real good crew.
Price and his crew will spend the winter in Huna carving away to make sure the canoes are finished. He says he is honored to help with Huna's clan's pursuit to recover.
Well, I just want to honor Huna and the people of Huna and their constant quest to return to their homeland. And they want to paddle a dugout back to their home. And I want to do everything that I possibly can to make that a success and a win-win situation for everyone. You know, it's been a long time since dugouts have been in Glacier Bay. And this is an opportunity to complete a circle that's been broken for a long time and make the impossible possible.
As for C in the healing robe,
it's all, everything that I've been doing in my life has kind of led up to this point, you know, and it's time. I must finish it.
Both Sea and Price have a busy winter ahead, but they say they're up for their respective challenges. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.